Well, I am studying to be a youth director at Hal's Anderson College. It's not been quite a struggle. I mean, you know, college is a big step. It's a new chapter in life. It's not a new chapter. It's also an experience on your own. Original from being the older group. Then you get to see what you could do when you're back in high school. Things I wish I could go back in high school and learn what you guys have taught me. Some things I regret, you know, pay attention to class more. That's one big thing right there. You high school students, you know, you seniors about to graduate, it's going to go by so fast, you don't even know it. It is a privilege not to come here, to grow up here. No, it's not by accident that we're here. It is a privilege. And I thank God that we are, that, you know, you get to come here to a good school, good college. I mean, not college, but, sorry. But a good church, a good family you get to grow up with. Well, I'm going to get started with my sermon here. Tonight, I want every one of you to go back on the day you got saved. Not just like not the day before you got saved, but I said the day you got saved. From that day forward to this present day, what type of Christian have you been? A cold Christian? A lukewarm Christian? Or a Christian who's still on fire for God? Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, thank you for your mercy, for your grace, known for this privilege, known to stand behind this pulpit, known to preach your power, Father, to preach your word. It's an honor. I know some people don't think it's a joke, but Father, it's a serious thing. We do have needs here. We all have needs, Father. Give me the exact words you want me to say. Give me your power, Father. Bless this message, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, some people have been asking me, so, oh Mike, how long are you going to be preaching for? And I was like 5-6 minutes. I was like, what? I was like, hey, I'm doing like 5 minutes of preaching, you know, like 20 minutes of jokes. I know that's what Brother Larry wants, of course. But can't. Sorry. I already know there's three types of Christians. A cold Christian, a lukewarm, and a hot Christian. What type of Christian are you since the day you got saved? My text verse today is going to be Revelation 3-18. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, oh man, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye slave, and that thou mayest see. One of the examples I see as a cold Christian was the prodigal son. I mean, of course, you can go both ways. You can go either the the prodigal son can either go both ways. You can look at the positive or the negative side. No, the prodigal son, you know, of course, you know the story. You grew up in a good, rich, wealthy home. And you probably got saved when he was young, but he never grew. You know, why? We ask sometimes. No, when you see people on the streets, we just pass them by and just, they don't need it. You know, we fight God. You know, No, we could be praying for, hey, God, we need an answer. We need revival. And the next day, you pray that prayer, and the guy just walks by. And then you ignore him. And God says, hey, that was your answer right there. That could have been your revival right there. And you just walk by. The thing that the cold Christian does, he probably grew up in a non-Christian home. Got involved with drugs, probably. Involved with the world. It doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. He probably wanted what the world had to offer. Goes to the world for answers. Goes to money. So the thing, I look at the prodigal son. When he asked his father for his wealth or his goods, he wanted money. That's what the world has to offer, is money. That's the world. The world says, if you have money, hey, I'll be your friends. Hey, you want to go drunk? Hey, you want to go get drunk tonight? But that's the world. The only thing that the world has to offer is pain. I'm not going to do it. It's a drunk, I'm getting drunk. I was like, oh man, having a good time. The world is having a good time. Because there's... there is a season. I guess sin is good for a season. There's only four seasons in every year. There's spring, summer, fall, then winter. Why do we go to the world sometimes for answers? If we know that Jesus is the answer. There's four things that I listed. That the world has in that office is pain, suffering, depression, and death. Death, when I put down, is hell. The world is going to hell, and I guess I see it too. Not just me, but not just you guys, but I see it too, that the world is going to hell. And at college, I saw a lot of things. Well, brother, Scott's dreams, to reach the world. He's planning at least about 1,000 churches in Chicago in 10 years. That's the dream that he wants. But he can't do it by himself. We can't do things by ourselves. We think we can, but we can't. With the prodigal son, with money, he had friends. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Isn't the love of money is the root of all evil? If it says that, then why do we? But it's our flesh. It's not just the world. It's our flesh. It's our daily nature flesh. Money is always going to be there. Thinking on is the answer, or just not. Other thing that I look at is the prodigal son. When he got drunk, probably got wasted and all that, his partying and all that. What's the pig pen? See, sin will really show who you really are. Not just... it really shows who you really are. One other thing, that the prodigal son was blind. He doesn't know Christ like we do. He got saved some other time. Probably at the fair sometime, got saved. Just walk on his way. Never thought about it again. When I was thinking about the blind, I was thinking about 2 Chronicles 4:4. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Okay. And I was just thinking about there on the platform. And it doesn't matter how dark it is in the room. All he needs is just a little light. Then we see that light. But the prodigal son didn't see that. Because he didn't have anything to go to, at this time. You know, he went to money. He went to drugs. He went to, you know. It's scary that, you know, for us, that we know that he is, you know, that Jesus is the answer, but we don't want to go to him. See, the other thing that I look for at the prodigal son is his father. No, his father, every single day, he was waiting on the porch for his son to come home. Every single, isn't that what our Heavenly Father does? He's waiting for us to just come home, but we don't want to because we're having too much fun. I mean, I agree, yes, it is fun. And we all have been there. And we see it every day. No, John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." If God died for the lost, but also for the cold Christian, even for us, don't you think there's hope for him? I mean, a lot of things we take for granted. I mean, like electricity, water. I mean, thank God for electricity, because you know, that storm like 4 weeks ago, we lost electricity, and that was not fun. Wow. Yeah, you know what I mean. If we have the answer, if Jesus Christ is the answer, don't you think we should go to them and tell them about Christ? See, and it's not just the thing that that the world has to offer, not just death. But the spirit is dead too. Also, I think about the prodigal son. I think of the churches too around the world. You know, some of the churches, you know, they play church. You know, like we all, like, you know, some of us do. You know, we just go on our way. You know, they get there, they get started. As a cold Christian, I look at, you know, he's forced to do things. He doesn't want to do it. He's just, he has to be forced. He has to be motivated by something. And I'm like a candy bar. You know, I mean, if you do this, I'll give you a candy bar. Like, you know, me. I mean, you give me a candy bar, I mean, I pretty much do just about anything. I mean, hey, it's food. And all the thing I look at as a cold Christian, no, it was his life. No, it says, every man is my teacher. And it is true. Is that you see it every day. Not just here. I also saw it at college. College is the big perspective, knowing that you see. And you're not just that. You're on your own. When you're on your own, you get to see more things. One of the main things that we should do, if Jesus Christ, no, it says in Revelation 3:15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather were cold or hot. If Jesus want you to be cold or hot, not in the middle, if the cold Christian is cold, no, not on fire, doesn't know anything about Christianity, no, just got saved, hasn't been to church, no, goes to like a dead spirit church, all God has to do is just knock on the door, just knock. And maybe he's probably talking to you and to tell him, but we're too lazy to do it. And the next point I look at, you know, as a cold Christian is a lukewarm Christian. And I think of Jonah. Jonah is, I think a lot of us today in this world are like Jonahs. You know, he was called to go to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish. He ran from God. He didn't just hurt himself. He hurts everybody. He knows God, but doesn't want to get to know God. Like, he's running from God. It brings them down for sometimes. No, he's having a time of his life. Until one of his friends died, he's not a Christian. Trying to witness to him, but he can't. because he's been living in the world. I mean, he grows up knowing a good, godly Christian home. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. It does not matter what type of person you are. Because God will take you in either way. And one of the main things I look at as a Jonah is gossip. A tongue is a very powerful thing that we don't realize. We don't realize that we just don't take it for granted. In Proverbs 6:17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And in verse 18, and heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that showeth discord among brethren. He's not just a lukewarm Christian, he lies. No, he tells a lie, and he's like, no, for example, steals a cookie out of the cookie jar. No, the parents, no, his dad walks in, did you steal that cookie? No. He knew that he did. No, the next day, no, cover up that lie. He said, hey, want to go do this? And goes out and do it. No. I got caught by the police. And I was like, hey, did you do this? No. No. He says, no, I didn't do that. Then got out of it. The lukewarm Christian does not just acts like the world. He plays Christians. Why is it sometimes that we know that Jesus is the answer, though? No, we got in arguments with our parents. I said, we got to go to church today? Come on. Well, there'll be food there. Okay, I'll go. Well, there'll be girls though. Sweet! But that's the only reason they know some people want to go, because, you know, there's food, there's girls, and I'm just like, who cares? He doesn't want to hear the preaching. I mean, why would they? They're running from God. They don't care. I mean, all they're doing, you know, is just acting like the world, talking like the world, walks like the world. I mean, not just me, just we do it too. See, that's why we don't just need God's grace, but we need his power every single day. You don't just realize it, that we live in a country that is the greatest country in the world. We should not take that for granted. And when you look at the war in Iraq right now, I don't know why that's still going on. I mean, well, only God knows. One thing, and also thing I look at, though, Noah's a Jonah's life, when he was going to Tarshish, when God was trying to get a hold of him, he had to send a storm, to get his attention. No, can you imagine, like, on the boat, you're just, like, getting a bucket, just getting the water out of the boat. Well, Jonah knows, he knew what was going on. They know. And all Jonah had to do was just say, God, I'm here. I'll do it right away. But he didn't want to, because he didn't care about Nineveh. He just, go on. I'm my life. I like my life. I love my life. But we do that too sometimes. No. It's just the power of God can do so much. He won't just do things to you. He will also force you on your knees. If he wants things done, he'll get it done by somebody else, or either he's going to have to force you. No, a death in the family, a loved one in the hospital, a car accident. I mean, what is it going to take for you to get on your knees to beg God? Is God going to have to force you, or you want to do it on your own? For the lukewarm Christian, the prodigal son, when he was in the pig pen, went in the past. My dad, he had steak, nice T-bone steak with a large Pepsi. some carrots, and some strawberry cheesecake. I mean, I had my... They're having that. I'm having... It's okay. And then he goes back. My dad's servants has better than this. I'm living in a pig pen. That's what a lukewarm person has to do. No, he wants to get right with God. He has to realize what he did. Not just realize. Just make things right. No, as a lukewarm person, no, he's not just selfish. He's going to hurt other people around him. One of the main things that... he has to make things right, with is your friends. I mean, your friends know who you are. I mean, they really do. Because, running the wrong crowd can really show who you really are. I saw that a lot at college. You got the good crowd. You got, I don't really care. I'm here, so I'm forced to. Then you got the Christian, then you got the crowd who's on fire. Friends does have a big influence on you. I mean, they really do. If you weren't in the cold crowd, then you're going to have a cold spirit. If you're going to have a lukewarm crowd, you're going to have a lukewarm where you're just, I don't care. I'm here because I have to be. You're not here because you want to. You're here because you have to be. And you got the other crowd that is on fire for God. Did you read this verse today, man? It was awesome today in devotions. Can you believe that? Can you hear that answer of prayer? I was like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. And also, thing is, don't just apologize to your friends and to your family, but also to your youth group. If you're, a teen in the youth group, you're a lukewarm. You should get right with God today. I mean, if you're going to the Shawnee Youth Conference, don't get right. I'll get right during the conference. Don't. Do it today. God wants you today and wants you to get right with God. This is really touchy. If God's speaking to your heart, if you're running from God, stop. Because it's not fun. I mean, I've been there before. I've seen both sides. I've seen his blessings, and his blessings is well worth serving him. Amen. I mean, it's not just great. You'll also be happy. You'll also have joy. Joy and happiness for life, for all eternity. And the world can't offer that. All they can offer is money. Money makes you happy. Can't have joy. Because Jesus says that I am the prince, the power, I'm the prince of peace.
That's right. Amen.
If he's the prince of peace, then don't you think that we should go to him for our problems instead of the world?
Amen.
But we do that too sometimes. Then we go to the world and man, I got this problem. It's like, I don't know. I know God can solve it. I know, but I don't want to. God shouldn't just be our first. No, God should be a first priority in solving our problem. Our car broke down. You don't have the money. Hey, I know the person you should turn to is God. That should be a first priority that we should turn to is God. I mean, having a hard time saving up money for college. Car broke down. Death in the family. Turn your problems to God. God created that problem for you to turn to him. God knew that you're going to have that problem long before you were even born. Long before you were born. Because he put that there for a reason. To build up your faith. To show his grace. Not to show his grace, but to show his mercy. What kind of God he is. God wants to prove to you what he can do. But he's limited by you. Why do we limit God sometimes? Well, as a lukewarm Christian, we do limit God. Because we don't see what God can do. He just walks around, goes through the world, see the world has to offer. You know, it looks good. And I was like, God, we just turn away and just say, oh, ooh, I want that. But instead of praying for it, we just go get it. Like a brand new car, you know, nice 2012 Mustang. That'd be nice for Christmas. I highly doubt it. I'll get that anytime soon. Unless if the church want to donate it to me, that'd be great. I mean, I'll be a really happy person. And I might even let you drive it sometime, Pastor. But I don't know about that one. If God has to force you on your knees, it's not just going to hurt him, and it's not just going to hurt you. It hurts God. As you know, they say, you know, when you get spanked by your parents, you know, it hurts us more than it hurts you. I don't know about that. The pain is causing. I'm just having a hard time just to sit down. That's why one of the main things, I'm not going to have kids, so I don't have to worry about that. You know, I'll be single the rest of my life. I'll be happy. It'd be the sweetest thing that ever happened to me, to be single. I don't know. I want to be single. That'd be nice. Not have kids. Living the life. If I only had that car, I could ever have. Yeah, it could happen. Well, that's the lukewarm Christian, though. That's his dream. No, he wants to live the life. He wants to do what feels good. That is true, though. No, we want to do what feels good. But God wants to step out of our comfort zone. If we do, then we will be happy. No, God called us to a missionary, not to Africa. I don't know about that, God. I'm not comfortable. I don't feel it. I can do it here. What about the Bahamas? I can do it there. That is nice, by the way. I wouldn't mind to go back there again. But we don't want to. We don't want to go out of our comfort zone. See, the thing about the cold and a lukewarm Christian, they're afraid to take that step. We have the answer. They're afraid. All they're looking for is answers. I hate this. It's bringing so much suffering, so much pain. I'm just living this, so I might as well just deal with it now. For the cold and the lukewarm Christian, they both go, with money. Not just money, but drugs. So it's like, oh man, I got a death in the family, I'll just drink it off. And it solves nothing, it just solves more problems. That's the world does, and it just creates more problems. Here, the car broke down here, I'll go rob a bank. See how that goes. And then, next day gets caught. Creates more problems. Is it really going to take God forcing on your knees? Or, like a cold Christian, like the prodigal son, realize what's the life he's been missing? See, the cold Christian can realize to himself, realize to him the life that he has. But a lukewarm Christian, they don't care. They know God, but they don't want him. It's sad that the cold has more guts to realize that he needs a true answer, but for the lukewarm Christian, he doesn't want to. He says, I'm too far deep. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. I mean, God's right there. And someone's, and no one just tapping on the shoulder. He's like, hey, here. Hello. Hello, yeah. You. Yeah. I'm right here. But we don't want to. Not just a cold Christian, not just a lukewarm Christian, but I also see as a hot Christian. A person who's on fire for God. Yeah. No, one of the churches known, of course, college. Hiles Innocent College is one of the biggest churches in the world. I think of these other churches, I don't know, I don't have any names, I don't have any of them written down. I have all these, Brother Scott says, at college, he has all these dreams and all these goals that he wants to do. I'm pretty sure it'll get done. It's going to take time. One of the examples I see as a hot Christian is Job. You can imagine what Job had at the time. I mean, he had money. You're talking about wealth. Just like the prodigal son did. But he didn't get involved with the world. He stayed on fire for God.
Amen.
Job is probably maybe one of the greatest examples that we can probably ever have. Not just because what he, the power that no one is leaving, having God leave his hand from Job until Satan, the only thing you cannot do to him is kill him. You can do whatever you want, do not kill him. If Job has enough sense to see what God can do, don't you think that we have enough sense what our Heavenly Father can do? It's hard. No. I'm happy you know life is hard. If life was hard, if life was easy, we wouldn't need God. I mean, it's a simple fact. Because we think we can do it on our own. That's what a cold Christian says. I'm living alone. And this is fun. And a lukewarm Christian says, I go to the world. But a Christian who's on fire for God, like Job was at the time. Now, the thing that I really caught, though, was he never left his eye off to God. He asked why. God never gave him an answer. When he lost his kids, lost his goats, his cows, his land, his friends came. And like I said earlier, friends has a big influence on you. It's just your choice what you want to do. You want to stay in that crowd? Or do you want to just walk away and follow God like you wanted to? Friends, for Job's friends, they said it was like, why this is happening? You know why? Because this is your fault. That was just nonsense. His wife even wanted Job to say, "Curse God and die." But Job said, no. He has something for us to learn. He wants me to learn something. To see, for example, in Job 42, it talks about prayer, his praying for his friends. A power of prayer can do so much. If God answers prayer, don't you think we should go to him instead of going money? I mean, if you got the money right away, then that's great. That's good. But don't you think we should go to God first? I mean, anybody could have saved a couple of dollars. I mean, $2. I mean, college student, $2. That's nice to have more than $2. I mean, it's nice. Also, Job just kept his eyes off Christ. He kept his faith. Not just his faith, he walked till the end of the trial. He didn't just walk, he talked it. He praised God every single day for her. Also, he acts like a Christian. You know, like a Christian should do. Isn't it sometimes that we as the Christians, we realize not that God is the answer. We realize that we have a problem. Then when you go to God, then right away, he solves our problem. But the flip side, you know, the other person, the same, you know, has the same problem, but it goes through the world. Like he's having more pain, more heartache. And he goes, and he looks at this guy. How do you do that? Well, I can show you. Right now, I can show you the plan of salvation. I can show you what the power of prayer can do. Power. No, the prayer can also change lives. No, we want things right away. You know, God is a God of mercy, of patience. If God can have patience for us, don't you think we can have patience for Him? I mean, Psalms 136, you know, His mercy endureth forever. That's what it talks about. I mean, it's a really good chapter. But we don't want to. We don't want God sometimes. For the cold week Christian, no, it goes back to the world. At one point, it was on fire, but it's probably got a death in the family, blamed it on God, ran from God. And still running from God. Are you that type of Christian? A lukewarm Christian? A cold Christian, or a Christian that is on fire for God. I know it takes time. But hey, if God can have mercy on us and have grace on us, look at the cross. The thing that at the pastor school was, at the cross. There was a lot of crosses at the church. I almost hit my head and almost, got knocked out. Man. I don't know what I was thinking. The cross, if you got a problem, at the end of the service, Brother Scott had, at the end, if you, there was a big cross, right beside, at this pulpit. It was like probably 75 or 80 feet. That's tall. Yeah, that was really tall. And we looked at, Brother Scott wanted some people come up. If you had a burden or you had a problem, put your hand on the cross and pray about it. Just leave it at the cross. If you got a problem with money, it doesn't matter what it is, come to the altar tonight. And I promise you just leave it there at the leave it at the altar. You don't have to worry about it. Because it's fear. I mean, sin causes fear. When we sin, we have to know and just know has to look back and it's like, he's scared. But when a hot Christian does right, he doesn't have to worry about what's coming out, what's coming after him. This is a perfect example as a hurricane. You got the winds blowing all over, and you got the eye. So calm, so peaceful. I think of the eye, I think of Psalms 23. God makes us lie down in green pastures in the cool of the day. Like 5-6 years ago, Hurricane Katrina. I had a big devastated loss, probably the worst in American history. If God can solve our problems, don't you think we should go to Him? Cold Christian doesn't, because he doesn't know how. And I was like, I don't want that right now. I'm not ready. Lukewarm Christian says he stays in the world. No, he plays Christian. He walks like a Christian, acts like a Christian, know, place, church, you know, only reads his Bible, you know, when in church time. Then, you know, at home, you know, it's on the table, you know, I'll probably be playing video games, watching TV, or just doing whatever, hanging out with his friends, his worldly friends. Not his godly friends, his worldly friends. See, friends and prayer is the two biggest impact that can have on your life. Because you have got the good friends that can lead you towards God, or you got the friends that can lead you backslidden from God. See, what Job taught us here is that he prayed for his friends. As he prayed for his friends, all his problems was gone. Isn't that something? Don't you think if our friend is not hard drawing us down, don't you think that we should be on our knees and beg God to help our friend to get right with him so you can both walk together? See, for me, friends has always been a big issue in my life. You know, walking in the crowds, you'll see that everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go, you're gonna see it. But you know who they are, though. You know which crowd you're going to. See, at college, a lot of them were probably forced to go there at Hiles. Most some were called and just got saved, and God called them to go there. I was like, oh, that's reason I can see that. Then there's a Christian who's on fire for God at college. I saw that too. No, he doesn't want anything involved with the world. See this? Look at the prodigal son, who realized what he did. He didn't just realize it. He got on his knees and went home. The lukewarm Christian is not just realizing. He's not just hurting himself, but he's hurting everyone. Not just his church members. Not just himself, but his friends, his non-Christian friends, and a hot Christian shows compassion towards these people. He shows grace, just like what Jesus did on the cross for us. If Jesus died on the cross for us, don't you think he also died on the cross for them? If God showed grace, grace is... Right now, if we deserve anything, we deserve hell. It's by grace that we are saved from hell. And some of us, we just don't realize it. We take it for granted. I was like, oh, well, I'll go on my day. One thing a Christian who's on fire for God shouldn't also just show grace, but show mercy. Have patience. It's not just going to happen right away. It's going to take time. If God can have patience with us, don't you think we can show patience to them? And also another thing, show them love. In John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If God gave his only son on a cross and hated sin so much, he had to walk away, he had to turn his back from his son. That's how much he loved us. When I think about what Jesus did for us, I also think about what Abraham, sacrificing his only son Isaac. That's why one of the main things, I'm not going to get married and I'm not going to have kids. If I had to, give up my son, if I had a son someday, to
To walk.
Not just to walk, but to talk like Christ. As a Christian. No, it says, no, we were commanded not to love them, and to love our enemies. Show compassion. Because you don't know, that could, that enemy, your friend's enemy that you're praying for, could be the next revival. You don't know that. See, we look on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. See, that's what God did for David. No. David wasn't muscular. He wasn't. All he was just a shepherd boy. But God knew who he truly was. If God looks on the heart, then don't you think it's God's problem to solve, not ours to judge? See, a lot of us today, we judge on other people. It's like, oh, I'm better than him. That's not your problem. That's between him and God, not us. I mean, all we can do is pray. No, if he wants to tell you, then tell him. And then listen, you should listen. A good friend would also just pray. Well, a good friend would also listen, too. Now, one Sunday night, God spoke to my heart for about a couple of things. I called up a friend. He told me the next day to write them down. Now, if you write down your decisions that you make, if you fail, you're gonna fail. Okay, don't bed your head over it. And people make mistakes. Life is mistakes, but God is not a God of mistakes. He's a perfect God, and always will be. Now he's the same from yesterday, today, and forever. I thank God that he's perfect. Now, would it be something just one day if God wasn't on the throne? What it would have been like? Would we lose our faith? Well, we don't have to worry about it because it's never going to happen. Because the main thing is we take it for granted that Jesus is still on the throne. You know, the battle and the war is already lost. Satan. He's going to be going to hell. I don't know when, but hopefully soon. Really soon. No. But I bring another Hurricane Katrina, no, to wipe him out. As a Christian, should pray for our friends. Friends that are tearing us down. No, not just pray. Help them. Lift them up. Because you don't know. If they're having a problem and you're criticizing them, you could be their answer, but instead you're turning them down. You know, when we all get to heaven, are we going to have to answer to God for what we've done with our actions? You know, what we said, what we saw, what we did? Don't you think it's time that we should build other people up? You go to a church that builds people up. I mean, look at the staff. See, you don't just know, not just the leaders. No, you get to follow. You also get to walk right beside them. I was in this college, Brother Scott. I don't just to follow him. I get to work right beside him. That's a big privilege. But the person, person like him, and other people, like your pastor, he's not just your boss, he's also your friend. Not just a friend, he's a brother too. If prayer can really change someone's lives, don't you think that we should pray for other needs? But sometimes we don't want to, as we think maybe we can solve the problems on our own. When we do, we just create more problems. Well, God will let you, because God gave us a free will. I'm happy that He gave us a free will. No, if we were like robots, He has to force us to do things. Man, what type of guy would He be? See, I chose the right path. I chose to serve God. Nobody didn't force me to. I had help along the way. And, we did. I mean, high school. And then you got college. And you got your parents. Don't take things for granted. That's one of the biggest things that the lukewarm Christian does. He takes things for granted. A cold Christian, he doesn't know any better. I mean, he's just a little baby. Probably a small little baby, probably. But a Christian who's on fire, he doesn't take things for granted. He thanks God for everything that he did. You know, Shawnee Youth Conference is coming up this week. You know, you teens are going. Don't go because you have to go because you want to. You don't know. All it takes is one service to change your life forever, just like it did mine. 2 years ago at Hiles Youth Conference, a guy called me to go to college. Hiles Anderson College, it's the best college in the world. I think it is. You can say what you want to say about that one. But I think it is. If we serve a God who cares, if we serve a God who can show grace and mercy and love towards us, don't you think it's time to show His love and He showed to us to help out other people? Now, we ask God for things, and then we keep it to ourselves. That's a lukewarm person. A Christian who's on fire, we ask God, and we give it up. No, it just keeps coming and coming. It's like a circle. God's, then it's us, and it's our friends. It just keeps going like a circle. And until we keep it, the circle just stops. No, we say, God, what's going on? What's going on? No, we blame God for our problems. But it's just, now he realizes. And he just gets going, and the circle keeps going, and then brings happiness, brings joy, and brings peace. So, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the service. And oh, Father, you've been speaking to my heart, Father. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for the service, Father. Bless this invitation. Be with Pastor, Father, to lead it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go stand, please. Head to back. Eyes are closed. Tonight, are you a cold Christian? You've just never really grown. You've never, maybe didn't get baptized. Maybe you just have not joined the church. Just never grew. One of the prayers we have for all the folks who got saved this week is that they grow. They come to church. They get baptized. They go back to their town, find a church, get baptized, grow, and not be cold. Or maybe you're lukewarm. You did all that. Oh, I'm going through all the motions. How sad that we just go through the motions. How sad with what Jesus did for us, dying on the cross, that we would just go through the motions. You're here tonight, you go through the motions. You're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. Why not be on fire for God? Why not be excited about God? Why not be ready to just do anything God wants you to do? Tonight, you're one of those three. All of us are. We're one of those three. Cold, lukewarm, hot. Which are you tonight?